If you have your Bible with you this evening, you turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation, and Revelation chapter 2. Turning to the last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and chapter 2. I'm going to read some verses from this great chapter of God's Word. Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 18. The Word of God says, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter. They shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Amen. And again, may God bless to us the public reading from his own inspired and his infallible word. Let's just bow together, please, in a word of prayer as we turn again to God's precious word tonight for our instruction. Our gracious God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy presence already with us. We realize, O God, that it is thy presence and thy presence alone that maketh the feast. We thank thee, Lord, that at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And how we thank thee tonight for the glorious gospel of Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that it is truly the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. And we ask thee just now, O God, that thou wouldst shut us in with thyself. O God, solemnize our hearts, we pray thee, and as we think and meditate upon the words of Holy Scripture, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw very strangely near. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us, we pray thee. Help me to proclaim Christ in all his glory and in all his beauty, in all his wonder-working saving power. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst move from seat to seat, from heart to heart, that thou wouldst convict men and women of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Should there be those in our gathering and are still outside the fold and family of God, the Lord, even this very night, they may come to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Lord, we look to thee. We realize, except the Lord build a house, we labor in vain that build it. And it's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So, our Father, we look to thee Bless us now as we wait on in thy holy presence. Bless thy word. Meet each person at the very point of their need. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning again to the book of Revelation and to the second chapter and those verses that we read, which form the message that came from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the church in Thyatira. As you are well aware, in the second and third chapters of this book of the Revelation, there are seven messages for seven churches, called the seven churches of Asia. And we have been reading tonight the message to the church in Thyatira. It was a message that came from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says in verse 18, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." There is nothing that can be hidden from the all-seeing gaze of our God. And the one who is described as having feet are like fine brass. We remember that the one who suffered and bled and died upon the old rugged cross for our sins, and the one who rose again triumphant on the third day, conquering sin and death and hell and the grave, the one who is our Savior, he is also the judge of all the earth. And he knows all about you and all about me. Just as he could say to that church in Thyatira, "I know thy works. I know your love, your charity. I know your service and your faith and your patience and thy works, that the last are more than the first." And then the Lord Jesus said, notwithstanding, in verse 20, "I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." When we read the name of Jezebel, we are even reminded in many ways that a very interesting study is to study the women who are mentioned in the book of the Revelation. The wonderful thing that every blood-bought believer, every child of God, every saint of the Lord, we are members of his body, and we are his bride, and Jesus Christ is the heavenly bridegroom, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is described in the book of the Revelation as the bride of Christ. She is depicted as being chaste and being pure, and in stark contrast to the woman described false religion, that great whore of Babylon in Revelation chapter 17. But in that church at Thyatira, there was a woman who claimed to be a prophetess. Her name was Jezebel. And she was guilty of whoredom and witchcraft and idolatry, and had caused people to turn away from the pure worship of Christ to idolatry. And I want to draw your attention to verse 21. Because for me it sums up the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no doubt about it that Jezebel was wicked, that Jezebel was exceedingly sinful, that Jezebel was guilty of tremendous sins against God. And you'll notice yet in verse 21 what God says. He says, "And I give her space to repent." of her fornication, and she repented not. She repented not. And I want just, as it were, for a moment or two, to take this text of Holy Scripture and to lift it from what we might call the ecclesiastical, as it is a letter to that church at Thyatira, and to make it personal, and to preach these words in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners, that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And the Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And these wonderful truths of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, these truths are found here in verse 21. I want you to notice very simply, first of all, in verse 21, what God desires. See, the Bible is very explicit. The Bible is very clear. What does God require from men and women? What does God require of you and of me? What does Almighty God require of every man, woman in this world, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, tramping down that broad road to a Christless eternity as fast as their feet will carry them? Well, it's very simple. God says here in verse 21, and I give her space to repent of her fornication. What does God desire of sinful man? God desires repentance. The Bible says that there's coming a day in which He will judge the world by that man whom He hath ordained, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it says that in times of ignorance, God winked at them. But now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. When the Apostle Peter preached that great sermon at Pentecost, you remember that Peter preached in his gospel, repent ye therefore and be converted. When men came to the Lord Jesus Christ with a problem, with a difficulty, with a theological question, and they were talking about men and women upon whom the tower had fallen, and Jesus said, do you suppose those people to be sinners more than other people? Nay, I tell you, Jesus said, and except ye repent, ye will all likewise perish. But the tenets of the gospel are this, that God would rather pardon than punish. God is not willing, saith the Scripture, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oftentimes, in this day and age in which we live, we hear people saying, well, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He rose again, He ascended into heaven, He gave the promise of His coming. But that's 2,000 years ago. Sure, if He hasn't come in 2,000 years, He will never come. But you remember the Apostle Peter's words in 2 Peter chapter 3. And he says in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, God desires men and women that they repent of their sin. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Thank God for that message that the apostle writes to the Romans, that God commandeth His love toward us. And even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What men and women in this world need tonight is not more religion. It's not more education. It's not more of this world's goods and materialism. But it is repentance. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here in the book of Revelation, to that church in Thyatira, and to that woman who was so wicked and so stained and so guilty and so much under condemnation, God says, I give her space to repent. What did God desire? That she should repent of her sin. What does God desire for you, dear friend, tonight if you're unsaved? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, God desires that you repent of your sin. Repentance means to turn away from, to turn around, to have a complete change, to turn your back upon sin, to turn your face toward the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn away from sin and from nature's darkness into the glorious light and the liberty of the gospel. But you'll notice not only what God desired repentance, but you'll notice what God did. Because it says in verse 21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication. We see here the grace of God at work. What did God do? This church in Thyatira, this very wicked woman, God desired she would repent. So what did he do? He gave her space. He gave her time. He gave her opportunity that she might repent of her sins. Isn't that the grace of God? Some people say, well, why doesn't God act immediately? Why doesn't God just step in? Why doesn't God just cut this man down or that woman down because of their sin and their wickedness? No, God, in his grace and in his mercy, God gave her space to repent. The story is told of a woman who attended Dr. Joseph Parker's church in the city of London. And she was coming through Hyde Park and there was a man there who was an atheist, an unbeliever. And he was challenging Christians. He was challenging God himself. And he held up his watch and he said, if there's a God in heaven, I'm giving him 3 minutes to strike me down. And he took his watch off and he made a great exhibition about this watch. I'm giving God 3 minutes. If there's a God in heaven, if there's a God who's almighty, if there's a God who has power, let him come, let him strike me down. And this dear woman watched. And she wondered as she waited what would happen. 3 minutes passed and the man went on with his philosophy and his ideas and his theories about life and death and eternity. And that dear woman came to the godly Dr. Joseph Parker and she told him the story. Has she been making her way home and she heard this man challenge Almighty God? And Dr. Parker very wisely said, he said, my dear, he says, does he think that he can exhaust the patience of Almighty God in 3 minutes? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In the old world, in Noah's day, you remember that God gave a message when a little child was born by the name of Methuselah, that when that little child would die, the judgment would come upon the earth. So that child, God allowed that child to live and to grow and to mature and to live to be 969 years of age. Then you remember as Noah came preaching righteousness for 120 years. And then finally in Genesis 7 and verse 4 it says, yet 7 days and the rain and the flood will come. How gracious is our God when he looked down from heaven. He saw the imagination of the hearts of men and women was only evil continually. And yet this is what God did. He gave them space to repent. He sent them a preacher of righteousness, the servant of God, Moses. Moses constructed the ark, and he preached the word of God, and he warned them about judgment to come, warned them about a great flood that would come and wipe out the civilization. 969 years. 120 years. Then yet 7 days. When you think about the great city of Nineveh, God sent his servant Jonah, who was reluctant to go. But eventually Jonah went to the city of Nineveh. And God gave him a message to preach. And his message to preach to the city of Nineveh was this. In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God sent his servant. God sent his prophet. God brought a message to the people of Nineveh. They were wicked. Their sins stank in the nostrils of Almighty God. Their sin had come up before God. But what did God do? God in grace sent his servant. 40 days, the number of testing, the number of trial. And he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Thank God that from the king upon the throne down, the people repented and turned to God in sackcloth and ashes. I think of that day when the Lord Jesus was descending down the Mount of Olives. And he looked over the city of Jerusalem, the holy city, and he cried, Matthew 23 and verse 37, far off would I have gathered thee, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The other Gospels we read, the Lord Jesus, he speaks about the city of Jerusalem, and he said they knew not the day of their visitation. Here he is, the Son of God, walking in their midst, opening the eyes of the blind, causing the lame to leap and to run, raising the very dead to life, preaching the gospel of his kingdom. And yet they would not come. They knew not the day of their visitation. And I think about men and women. If you think about the story in the book of the Revelation, what God did, and how God extended grace, how God spoke to Jezebel, how God spoke to the antediluvian civilization in Noah's day, how God spoke to that city of Nineveh, how the Lord wept over the city of Jerusalem, how many times, how many years, how many circumstances in life, sicknesses, bereavements, upsets in the home and in the family, unemployment, tragedies that have happened in our land time and time again, how many times has the Lord in grace spoken to you. And maybe you were troubled. And maybe you were concerned. And maybe you realized as you stood at an open grave that we must all needs die, that we are like water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again. You've thought about life and death and where your soul will be in God's great eternity. What God desired, He desired repentance. What God did, verse 21 says, He gave her space to repent. Let me close by reminding you of what God declared. He says, I give her space to repent of her fornication. Listen. And she repented not. That's what God declared. I give her space. I give her time. I give her opportunity after opportunity. But she repented not. She died as she lived. What an awful epitaph to write over the life of this woman. Woman who had the opportunity. But she repented not. The grace of God is magnified in those verses because God said, I give her space to repent. And then in verse 22, He said, even in judgment I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent. Yet another opportunity. But she repented not. Sometimes preach and that wonderful story in Luke 23 of the dying thieves. One man repented of his sin. One man turned to Christ. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he heard those words of assurance that came from the lips of Jesus. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. One man repented, but we need not despair, that there's yet time, that there's opportunity. And yet the other, like this woman, repented not. Mr. Spurgeon says, one man, it's recorded of him that he repented lest we should despair. It's recorded of the other that they repented not lest we should presume upon God's mercy. We need to repent and turn and put trust in Christ. Salvation is by faith. And again tonight in the gospel meeting, the invitation goes out. What does God desire for your life? That you repent of your sin. What has God done? God has given you opportunity, even another opportunity tonight. But dear friend, it might be the final opportunity. God said in Noah's day, yet 7 days, and then the flood came. Noah entered into the ark, and his wife and his sons and their wife, and then the door was shut. Sinner, God's patience may weary someday, and leave thy sad soul in the blast. By willful resistance you have drifted away over the deadline at last. Friend, as the old gospel hymn says, while God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do no longer roam, lest you seal your hopeless doom be in time. The night I was saved, I mentioned it this morning, in 1965, Noel Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. Dr. Paisley was the preacher. Can't remember much about the sermon that he preached except for one text of Scripture. That text of Scripture from Genesis 6. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, God strives. God speaks once. Yea, God speaks twice. God has spoken in your life many times. He's speaking again tonight. My friend, He may not always speak. What if this should be God's final call to you? To take His offer of salvation through. This could be it, my friend, if you only knew. God's final call. Therefore, come. Come tonight and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Let's bow together, please, in a word of prayer. Can I just say, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's someone in our meeting tonight and you're concerned about your soul and where your soul will be in God's eternity, and God has given you another opportunity. In a moment or two, we'll be having our communion service. But I'm your servant for Jesus Christ's sake. And if you would like to speak with us, if you'd like me to show you from God's Word, God's way of salvation, how you can be saved, how you can be sure that you're saved, how you can know that your sins are forgiven and as well with your soul, then, dear friend, don't go away from the meeting. If there's someone tonight, you say, "Preacher, I'll wait, I'll talk to you. You can point me to Christ." Would you let me know about it just very simply by raising your hand into the air and taking it down again? Say, "I'd like to talk to you." I'll acknowledge it, then you take it down. Is there one? Anywhere in the meeting? Say, "I'd love to get right with God. I'd love to be sure that I'm a Christian, that my sins are forgiven. God has given me an opportunity. And I'm taking that opportunity, I'm grasping that opportunity tonight with both hands." Is there one? Before we close in prayer. If you haven't raised your hand and you're concerned about your soul, I'm your servant for Jesus' sake, don't go away. Wait and speak to us. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for thy presence. We pray now when the voice of the preacher is still, that the Spirit of God himself would speak on. Give grace to men and women to come and in repentance to take their place as a sinner and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to start out for heaven and for home. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.